agora, Nuno, é agora. Bernardo Silva mete-se lá na área, acabou. Portugal está fora do Campeonato Mundo. Campeão da Europa cai nos oitavos de final. Os abraços são dos uruguaios e a festa também é da Celeste. Portugal termina aqui o seu sonho. O campeão da Europa caiu nos oitavos, mas cai de pé, bateu-se com tudo até ao fim. Mas hoje Cavani fez a diferença. É o herói desta noite de Sochi. Portugal batalhou. Até a última, mas foi derrotado por este Uruguai. É a primeira vez que o Uruguai vence Portugal e afasta a equipa das esquinas dos quartos de final.
And that's it. Not the run that we expected, but the run has ended for the Slesong. Disappointing to be knocked out in the round of 16. A lot of expectations on all of our ends. If you've been listening to us since the inception of the podcast and following us on social media, the round of 16 was not where we thought we would be ending up, but it is unfortunately where our dream of winning the World Cup comes to an end. You are listening to episode 9 of the Slesong podcast. My name is Danny Pinto. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode and all the episodes thus far on this trip through Russia for World Cup 2018. I'm recording this a few days after the game because it's taken me a while to come to grips that the run is over. But yeah, like I said, it is, and that is something that we as fans of the Slesong are coming to grips with, and maybe still coming to grips with a few days after the fact. But what I have for you this episode, we're going to talk about the game. I'm not going to play highlights just because it's still a little too painful for me. But we will talk about the game this episode. No guests today, just you guys and me, and I mean you guys, because you guys had such a response on Twitter and on our Facebook page as well about a question I had thrown out there as to who was our best player in the tournament, who was our most disappointing, and what you guys would like to see in 2020 in the Euro. So you know, we'll it'll just be you and I, and then I'll give you guys an idea of where the podcast is going to go now that the World Cup is over. So lots to talk about. So I wanted to just make sure that you and I were in this voyage here. Just you guys just listening in your cars, at your desks, you know, in your house. Maybe your aval is like, you know what, that kid is rapazinho de California. Ele tá fazendo muito bem. And I would say, aval, thank you. But really appreciate you guys all the way through, from the first episode, from all the responses on social media. Just really appreciate you guys going on this journey with me. All right, to the game. And as I said, no highlights. We'll just talk about some decisions. We'll talk about the quality of play. But again, I don't want to relive two Cavani goals. I just don't. You know, there was one in the first half. There was one in the second half. There was the second one just... Yeah, we'll get to all that. So we go with the starting 11, and it was Rui Patrice in goal, Pep and José Font as the center backs, and there would be a change as Ricard Pereira would get the start, but he would get the start at right back instead of Cedric, and Rafael Guerreiro, he would still be the left back selection for Fernand Santos. In the midfield, there was Bernard Silva with William Carvalho, Adrian Silva, and João Mário, and it was Gonçalo Guedes instead of André Silva up front with Christian Ronaldo. So that was the starting 11 for the Slesong. In my opinion, Portugal opened up really well, and they started off really well against this Uruguayan defense that was, you know, they hadn't allowed a goal yet up until this match. But that obviously that changed in the seventh minute when Luis Suarez he would find Edinson Cavani at the back post, beating Rui Patrice, but more importantly, beating Rafael Guerreiro. And there just wasn't anything that Rui Patrice could do on that ball. Just a gorgeous ball to Cavani, who had headed in. And Uruguay opened up the game early with a 1-0 lead just 7 minutes in. And after the goal, Portugal, they valiantly, in my opinion, they tried to get something going on offense to respond to Cavani's goal. But the Uruguayan defense, they were just up for the challenge, and they would be frustrating the Portuguese team throughout the entire first half as we reached the half at 1-0. But 10 minutes into the second half, the landscape of the game would change. And it shifted in Portugal's favor, and they were finally able to break through as Pep, he equalized on a cross from Rafael Guerreiro, who redeemed himself for just a moment from his earlier mistake and pretty much for his entire tournament. Following a short corner, and the center back Pep, he would convert on just a gorgeous header to tie the game at one. What was so great about that goal is just the concentration that Pep displayed, as that ball was clearly intended for Cristiano Ronaldo right on top of the six, but that ball sailed over CR7's head. But an unmarked Pep was there to put it away and give all of us hope that Portugal's tournament was not over quite yet. But Uruguay, specifically Edison Cavani, in the 61st minute, he pretty much told the Seleção that our dream of advancing was over. Just a beautiful bending goal from the left side of the 18, bending it around Rui Patrice, just perfect placement, and it made the goal 2-1. As I mentioned in the 61st minute, Portugal's best chance to pull even once again came late in the half. In the second half, as the Uruguayan goalkeeper made a mess of a cross, struggling to come up with it and taking him away from his line to just about the penalty spot. And Bernard Silva, he had an opportunity to tie the match with an open goal. Obviously, there's a lot of people in front there, but he tried his best, but fired it over the goal. And just minutes later, that would you would hear the whistle, the final whistle, as we played at the beginning of the podcast here, and that would end Portugal's run in World Cup 2018. Again, I didn't want to play the highlights. Just talking through that was a bit of a struggle for me not to get upset again, but. The reality of the situation is that Portugal is out of the World Cup. They bow out in the round of 16 much earlier than we all hoped. But the reality is the reality. Let me give you some thoughts here on the match and then the tournament overall. And this is more so just the tournament overall. The luck or whatever else that was going for us in 2016, it either ran out before the tournament began. Or maybe it ran out after the Spain match, or maybe after the Morocco match. It was never easy in 2016, but it just seemed like more of a struggle this go round in the World Cup. And that's still with Portugal making it out of the group stage to the round of 16, and in my opinion, outplaying Uruguay in the round of 16 match. You know, it just based on the numbers, you know, it was 61-39 in favor of Portugal in possession. They outshot Uruguay 20-6, and albeit those numbers are going to skew a little bit, especially in the second half, because Portugal had the majority of the ball in the second half, trying to get that second goal, trying to tie, but it just never materialized for Portugal this go around. And you know, it's a shame. It really is, because I thought. And I know a lot of you thought out there listening and interacting with me on social media that this team had the quality to make a deep run in this World Cup. And if things broke our way, if things fell a certain way, maybe even be playing for the World Cup title. You know, and again, I would personally like to thank the referee from the Iran game for sending us to the knockout stage group of death part of the bracket. Thank you, sir. I know your name. I'm not going to say your name anymore because I kind of, you know, raked you over the coals a little bit last episode. But again, even then, you just never know what can happen. But it just never materialized, as I mentioned before. It just never clicked in this World Cup, and it's a shame because this was a very, very talented group. I thought Fernando Santos made some curious decisions prior to the World Cup with his 23-man selection. Excluding guys like Ruben Neves and Ronnie Lopes. I thought he mistakenly gave Gonçalo Guedes an opportunity to play up front with Ronaldo that he just obviously wasn't ready for and maybe probably didn't deserve if we're looking at it honestly here. And I'll never understand going with Guerreiro the entire way when he clearly was not fit. You have two other backs in Ricard Pereira, who did not have a good game against Uruguay, and Mario Rui to choose from. Yet it was Cedric that takes the back seat to Ricard Pereira, and an unfit Rafael Guerreiro continues to play all the way through. That was a disappointing decision in my opinion. So as good as he was tactically in 2016, I think Fernand Sanch obviously fell short in this World Cup. I've read people who want him fired now. Like, why? No. It's one thing if he, I mean, if this team bowed out in the group stage, I think you may have that conversation, but no. They qualified out of the group stage. They fought hard against a team like Uruguay who, you know, they have that firepower up front. But yeah, Portugal fell short of our expectations. They fell short of their own expectations. A round of 16 exit is not what they wanted, but it's not something that Fernand Santos should be fired over. Absolutely not. He should be leading this team going forward in the Euros. Hopefully we qualify for those. And quite honestly, I'd love to see him in Qatar in 2022. So Fernand Santos does not need to lose his job, nor should he, based on this performance in the World Cup. But he does have some decisions to make, especially with players like Pep and Bruno Alves and Quaresma and João Moutinho and Ronaldo heading towards the end of their careers. He's got to figure out when is the proper time to have them hand over the baton to guys like Ruben Dias and Paulo Oliveira, Nelson Smith, João Cancelo, Ruben Neves, Sérgio Oliveira, Bruno Fernandes, Gonçalo Guedes, André Silva, Ivan Cavaleiro, and more. I mean, there is a plethora of young talent coming up in this Portuguese system, and it's very, very exciting. But the decisions on when to have these guys get called up and become part of the next generation of Portuguese talent, the next generation of Euro and World Cup participants, that's a big one for Fernand Santos. And I don't know how long he's going to be the mister for the Seleção, but he does have some decisions that I think are going to be coming sooner rather than later. So hopefully he makes the right one there. Let's go to the players now from this World Cup. Rui Patrice, just as solid as we could have hoped for. And considering everything that was going on with Sporting leading up to the World Cup and then his eventual transfer to Wolves, he ensured victory against Morocco, and he kept Portugal from going down 2-0 after about 20 minutes on a gorgeous save on a Suarez free kick. I thought Rui Patrice was as solid as ever in goal, and we were very, very lucky and fortunate to have him be our keeper there. Rafael Guerreiro just never fit enough to be the player he was for us at Euro 2016. And again, I mentioned this in previous episodes. Behind Ronaldo, I felt that Guerreiro was the second best player for us in Euro 2016. I just wish that Fernand Santos would have seen that he wasn't fit. Or maybe he just chose to ignore it. You know, again, I don't know how much faith he had in Ricard Pereira and Mario Rui, but he had enough faith in Ricard Pereira to have Cedric sit. And Cedric, to me, had a very good World Cup. You know, him and José Font, very workmanlike performances. Nothing flashy, nothing dominating. They never made errors in which they couldn't come back from. I thought they both deserved their place in the starting 11. And to me, it was a shame that Cedric had to sit for Ricard Pereira. Ricard Pereira, again, I'm not going to spend too much time with him. You know, first of all, stay on your feet as much as you possibly can when you're playing soccer. But that was not the move for him to play Uruguay in place of Cedric Suárez. If he was going to play, it should have been for Rafael Guerreiro. Or you bring in Mario Rui for Rafael Guerreiro. Pep. Now, 4 years ago, right after the 4-0 loss to Germany in the last World Cup, I never wanted him to play for the Seleção again. He picked up that stupid red card in the opening match of group play versus Germany in the World Cup. And to me, Portugal never recovered from that. But I'm so glad that he put on those colors again of the Seleção. And make no mistake, he was born in Brazil, but those Seleção colors are Pep's colors. He's represented the national team with passion, with love, and respect that I don't think of him. I just don't think of him as a Brazilian playing for our national team. I just think of him as Portuguese. Ele é nosso português. Ele é da gente. I pray he can go another 2 years and play in Euro 2020 because I thought he had an excellent World Cup. I thought he was huge. And I hope that before he retires, and if it's a retirement game, that we all know this is going to be it for him, I would love to see him captain the team. I think he's been that big of a presence and that big of a fixture for this national team the last 8-10 years. He's just been awesome to have, and it's going to be a sad day when he's gone. William Carvalho. I used to be one of those guys who would question his work ethic, his ability. He just seemed like he wasn't trying, et cetera, whatever. Looking back at the work that he put forth in Euro 2016 and the qualifiers leading up to this World Cup, and then the effort he actually put into this World Cup, I don't believe we make it out of the group stage without William Carvalho. He meant that much to the Seleção. Ele foi enorme, in my opinion. And when Danilo returns from injury, he's going to have to beat out William Carvalho for that defensive midfield role. Because in my opinion, William Carvalho has that role locked down. Just a great, great World Cup for him. And those who question his ability or his work ethic from here on out, shame on you, because that guy works his ass off. João Moutinho and Adrian Silva, not much from either of them in this World Cup, in my opinion. They probably will still be options for 2020, but I'm telling you right now, their competition for their spots on this Seleção is going to get tougher and tougher because the talent behind them coming up is very good, and it's coming up fast. So to me, both those guys are not guaranteed spots in 2020. João Mário, really disappointing in this World Cup. I thought he was really solid in the qualifiers and in the friendlies, but in this World Cup, it just never worked for him. He never got it together, and just really disappointing. Bernard Silva, for me, a little bit of too little, too late. Struggled on the wing, obviously, and when he was moved into that number 10 role versus Uruguay, I thought he was easily at his best. To me, that is where his future lies on this Seleção. At the beginning of this podcast, when I first started this podcast, I thought that the number 10 role was where he was best suited. And I normally do not pat myself on the back, but I will here because I was right. I thought he was all over the field, playing very positive football, involved in the majority of the chances we had in the second half against Uruguay, even gave himself a chance to tie the match late in the second half. I thought he was great against Uruguay, but it was a disappointing tournament for him overall. But I hope going forward that Fernandes puts him in that 10 role and just lets him quarterback this Seleção offense. I think he can be the guy who can definitely open up things in the middle of that field, and maybe us go away a little bit from just the wing play, the crossing it into the box. Maybe we can attack the middle a little bit. I think Bernard Silva is that good that we can have that option be a bigger one going forward. Gonçalo Guedes and André Silva. Let me start with Gonçalo Guedes. He just wasn't ready, especially in that striker forward role. I still think he's best served as a wing, especially with André Silva as the best forward option not named Ronaldo. But Fernandes Santos didn't do him any favors by forcing him into the starting 11. But Guedes also did nothing with the opportunities that he was given. As for André Silva, to me, he's still the top option along with Ronaldo up top. And I think the thing with Guedes starting over him kind of messed him up a little bit in the head. Because when he did get his opportunities, while I thought he was better than Guedes, it just the chemistry that was there during qualifiers just was not there in the World Cup. So I think he was just trying to find himself, too much, and kind of trying to figure it out while on the field, and he just never could, and the team never could around him. Ricard Quaresma, for me, this guy's all positive. In his first World Cup, the goal against Iran was that Trivela was a thing of beauty. The energy and the pressure he exuded and applied to defenses was something that I wish we could have seen more of from him. But with only one start and then coming on as a super sub in his other appearances, and the fact that he's 34 years old, I think they all played a factor in why we didn't get to get more from him. But I'm just thrilled that we finally were able to see him play in a World Cup. For him to have that Trivela against Iran, just again, just a thing of beauty. And, 36 in 2020, who knows? He could definitely be a sub then, but I'm just wondering if this is the last time we see Ricard Quaresma in a tournament for Portugal. And finally, our capitão, Cristiano Ronaldo. Single-handedly got us the draw versus Spain. And the win versus Morocco with a little bit of Patrice's help with that save. But for me, things turned for him, in my opinion, when he missed that PK against Iran. The effort was still clearly there. The passion for wanting to win was still clearly there. But it would be, a touch too many or a poor decision on a shot attempt when there's like two or three defenders right in front of him. But I mentioned earlier that we don't get out of the group stage without William Carvalho. I don't think we win a game, maybe even get a point, without Cristiano Ronaldo. Something that the Selecao at some point will have to come to grips with is that he's not going to be around. He's 33 years old. Who knows how many tournaments he has left? I'm guessing 2020 is still in his sights. But he's going to be 35 in 2020. He'll be 37 in 2022 when the World Cup comes again in Qatar. And it's going to be a later World Cup, from my understanding, because it's going to be played in the winter, our winter, the North American winter. So he's going to be done at some point, and that's a reality that us as fans and the Selecao overall is going to have to come to grips with at some point. All right, so now we will hear from you guys as you reached out to the show via social media to give us your thoughts on a question that I had put out following the game and following Portugal's elimination from the World Cup, which was who was the Selecao's best player, who was the most disappointing, and what is it that you would like to see in 2020 in the Euro, barring that Portugal does qualify as they should. Again, facebook.com/SelecaoPod is our Facebook page, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SelecaoPod. We go to Facebook first to kick off your feedback, and we go with a previous guest on the show, Mark Anthony Souza. He says, the best player, obviously Ronaldo, most disappointing. He said it was Bruno Fernandes. He for 2020, he says no changes really need to be made. We came into the tournament with old center backs and young attackers. Just need experience to find a partner with Ruben Dias in the back. So that's from Mark Anthony Souza. From our one of our youngest listeners, we go to Noah Pacheco. He is from Galt, California, right down the road from where we broadcast in the Sacramento area. And Noah says that the best players were Ronaldo and Quaresma. The most disappointing was João Mário. And in 2020, he wants to see Portugal be more aggressive, fighting for the ball, and just doing a good job at defending. So, Noah, thanks, buddy. Really appreciate your feedback. Finally here, Mark Seamus, one of our consistent contributors here. Mark, thanks again for reaching out. He says, best player overall was Ronaldo. We don't make it out of the group stages without him. Most disappointing may have been Fernando Santos, which is interesting, for using João Mário as our creative mid. We have a multitude of players playing their last international match of importance in Pep, Quaresma, Font, Bruno Alves. We may have to scout Brazil again for a center back again to pair with Ruben Dias. So that was from Mark Seamus. Also, we do have a couple more here from from Facebook. Danny Silva. Danny says, best player is fairly obvious. It was our capitão. Most disappointing, he says, it would be Gedge. This stage and these lights seemed a little too big for him, which I agree. But looking forward to seeing his form progress and mature. Changes. Our weakness was Uruguay's strength, and it ultimately cost us the game. Our central defense must get younger and stronger. And finally, to our another former guest, my cousin Brian Toss from Canada. He says that the best player was Ronaldo. Most disappointing, he also is going with Gonçalo Guedes, but give him the benefit of the doubt. Big stage for a young player, but he needs to mature a bit. As for changes for 2020, he'd like to see a more confident midfield like we are supposed to be on paper. Defense needs a strong replacement for Pep. He probably won't be back. Everything else was great. We were outplayed almost the entire tournament and managed to win in two ties. The game that we outplayed them, and speaking about Uruguay, we lost. Spain, Germany, Argentina also went out. I feel like it's a game of luck and skill, but our luck ran out this tournament. We will win the next one. Forza Portugal, the best team in the world. So that is all your responses there from Facebook. Again, our Facebook page, facebook.com/SelecçãoPod. We now go to Twitter now, and again, you can find us on Twitter at SelecçãoPod. We go to Eric Vieira down in Southern California. You can find him at GIS Hammer. He says, best player, CR7. It's not super original, but those are the facts. Most disappointing, he says, it was Gonçalo Guedes. Not sure if it was him or the position he was put in. Changes for 2020 or 2018. Get younger defenders some reps. Need an improved back line. To Johnny C. from back east, he says that the best player besides Ronaldo was William. The most disappointing was Bernard Silva, excluding the second half of the Uruguay game. He was hoping for more. As for changes for 2020, need to get younger at the center backs, put Bernard Silva and Guedes in their natural positions and build around them. Lots of young talent coming up the ranks. On to Derby, England now, as our buddy David Martin's checking in from England. He says that the best performers were Ronaldo, Pep, and Cedric. The worst performer was Gahade due to not being 100%. As for 2020, he says that Bernard's playing from a number 10 role and Andre Silva getting game time somewhere so he can be our number 9. Obviously, his future with AC Milan a little bit up in the air after a not-so-great first year there. And we have here, and I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher this guy's name. His name is Zanes Bouandi. That's you could find him here on Twitter at ZHANESBAONDE. He's been a very good contributor here on our Twitter accounts, interacting with him a little bit. But he says that the best player was CR7, obviously Ronaldo and William. Biggest disappointment was Rafael Guerreiro. He says, as for changes for 2020, the manager has to be more cognizant of players who are in form and should also do better at putting players in their best positions. So we have that from Zane there. And our final tweet comes from Anthony Souza. He says that the best player was William. The worst players were João Mário and Rafael Guerreiro. Both were dreadful, and he doesn't understand how they continue to get starts. Changes for 2020, he'd like to see Portugal go back to the 4-2-3-1 formation with Ronaldo as the 9 and a midfield of William, Ruben Neves, and Bernard Silva as the 10, flanked by Rony Lopes and Bruma. So those are your tweets. Those are your posts from Facebook. Again, you could follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at SelecçãoPod and Facebook.com/SelecçãoPod. Can't thank you guys enough for all the interaction during the friendlies and throughout the World Cup that we had on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram as well. The outreach of interaction was really overwhelming and humbling, and it was a lot of fun to have so many opinions from so many parts of the Portuguese speaking world here. So it was awesome, and I look forward to the next time that we do so. So here is how the podcast is going to go now that the World Cup for the Seleção is over. So we're at the quarterfinals. If you had to ask me right now, I'm picking France and England to play in the final, and I'm picking England to win the entire thing. So if you guys want to hit me with your predictions for the World Cup as we're sitting here at the quarterfinals as of this recording, yeah, just hit me up on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram. So, but with the World Cup now being over, the question is what happens to this podcast. So what I'm going to tell you is this: that this podcast is going to continue, a little bit of a hiatus per se, but I am still going to try to get someone who covers the Slesong to get their views on what happened to the team in Russia, maybe sooner rather than later. And there's no promises. I'm going to try to work my hardest there to get somebody. These guys are probably looking forward to a little bit of time off, as well as just countless articles, countless coverage of the Slesong that I'm sure a lot of us have read. So, but I'm definitely going to try to get one of those guys, if not more, try to get somebody over to the show here and get their final review, a post mortem, if you will, to see to get their thoughts on what happened with the Slesong in World Cup 2018. If Ronaldo leaves Real Madrid, and it looks likely that he might, but it also looked likely about three other times since he's been with Real. But if he does indeed leave Real Madrid, we will have a podcast covering that potential move. As of this podcast, as of this recording, Juventus is the most likely destination, and it looks like Juventus is trying to make that a reality as they are reportedly getting close to selling Gonzalo Higuain to Chelsea. That would free up about $70 million U.S. that that Juventus could definitely use in the proposed deal to get Ronaldo from Real to Turin. I think it's in the neighborhood of $115 million U.S. I think that was the number we last heard. So definitely, if Ronaldo does end up going to Italy, we will have a podcast to discuss that and hopefully get somebody to talk to about the move as well. So we're in July now. No, there will be no competitive matches for Portugal in August. Portugal will be participating in the UEFA Nations League. And the first thing I had to figure out was, what the heck is the UEFA Nations League? And I will tell you. The 2018-2019 UEFA Nations League will be the inaugural season of the UEFA Nations League, an international association of football competition involving the men's national teams of the 55-member associations of UEFA. The competition, which will be held from September to November of 2018, which is the league phase, and June 2019, which is the Nations League finals, will also serve part of the qualification process for UEFA Euro 2020, awarding berths in the playoffs, which will decide four of the 24 final tournament slots. Now, to be honest, I'm still not sure what to think of this UEFA Nations League. Not sure what to think about it, as I'm not really sure how it even works. Even though I just read the Wikipedia for it, but what I say is the more competitive matches available for us to watch as fans, the better. There are 12 teams in Portugal's League One. There will be four groups of three teams in Portugal's group, which is Group Three. They have Italy and Poland. Portugal will play Italy in Lisbon on September the 10th. They will then travel to Poland and play on October 11th, and then play in Italy on November 17th, and then close out the group stage versus Poland at home in Portugal on November the 20th. So there's still going to be four more competitive matches before 2018 comes to a close. I believe Portugal also plays Croatia prior to the UEFA Nations League begins. I believe they play them in a friendly. I'm not sure on the location. I believe it's Portugal, but don't hold me to that, as I don't have that information in front of me. So a few more chances to check out the Slesong in 2018 competitively, and hopefully we may have some answer or some questions answered as to who's taking over where, or who's playing where in what role, yada yada yada. Next, I want to thank the following people here: Michael Teixeira, Jimmy Enge, Rui Miguel Martins, Marc Anthony Souza, James Faria, Steve Ferreira, Nelson Azved, Brian Tost, Eric Krakauer, Taylor Amarant, Jason Amarant, and Nelson Pontegarza. All these gentlemen took time out of their lives to join me on this passion project of mine, to talk about the Seleção, talk about, you know, their hopes, their dreams of what they hoped, what happened with the Seleção, along with mine, their thoughts on what would be the best approach for the Seleção. They shared time with me on this project, which like I mentioned in previous episodes, which I'm mentioning right now, this was a passion project of mine, and that meant the world to me for them to take time out of their busy lives to do so. When your passion is shared and recognized by those that are not only your friends or family, but those whose opinions and work I respect, it meant a lot for all those guys to come on to the show and share that with me. So I can't thank you guys enough for that. And if you're listening to the show, I can't say enough about how much you guys listening and interacting with me on social media has meant. The internet, I'm telling you, can be a very scary place sometimes. But it also allowed me to interact with people from California to Massachusetts and Rhode Island to Toronto and Calgary and Montreal and in the Azores and in Portugal and even our buddy David Martin's in Derby, England. This has by far been the biggest highlight in doing this show, is just the reach that this podcast has had in such a very short time. And I'm going to do my best to keep it up and keep it growing and doing things to improve the show. And I just need you guys to keep on coming on this journey with me and listening to the episodes when they come out, sharing everything that you possibly can and retweeting everything you possibly can on social media, and just helping me continue to grow this podcast, which has just been just an awesome experience for me thus far. Finally, to my beautiful wife, Suzette, and my two future naturalized Portuguese Seleção players, my sons Eliseu Rui and Lucas Manuel, thank you for all of your support on this project. This thing has taken me away from you guys a few times, a few hours at a time, but you guys always knew what this meant for me and meant to me, and I love you all so very much for showing me that kind of support and love. And wanting to see me do this. So I love you guys so very much. And for those asking, Eliseu is 3. Probably will be a winger, or maybe play the number 10 role. Lucas Manuel, he's 9 months, but he might finally be the center back of the future that we've all been waiting for. So I know there were inquiring minds were wanting to know that. So that is who I'm rocking with in the next, I would say, 15, 20 years. Look out for Eliseu Rui and Lucas Manuel coming to a Seleção game near you. So with that, that's it for now. This has been me, your host, Danny Pinto. And from the bottom of my heart, muito obrigado, grande abraço, and Força Portugal!